This podcast is brought to you with thanks to Lenco Group, civil engineering consultants.
He's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
Here's Raul. Ho-ho! Zidane!
Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR. Football Nation Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Euro Show right here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Adriano Del Monte and Rick D'Andrea here with you reviewing the final weekend of action across Europe's top competitions. The Bundesliga, it finished 7 days ago, but there was a German Cup final. Very entertaining affair, this one, Rick. We'll bring you all the fallout and all the analysis from that big match. Bayern Munich and Eintracht Frankfurt doing battle in the final match in the German league season. The Serie A, Ligue 1 and La Liga have all wrapped up as well. So, obviously, all the Champions League participants, Europa League participants and the unfortunate teams to be relegated also now confirmed. So lots to bring you in the next hour. The lines are open, 9994 9999 is the number. If you'd like to give us a call live on air at any stage, you can also tweet us. You can find us at FNR underscore radio. Rick, welcome to you this afternoon. Good to see you.
And good to see you, Adrian. Good afternoon to all the listeners.
Let's get into the Serie A. Let's start there. We've got plenty to get through today. The reason I'd like to start in Italy's Serie A, though, Rick, is because it was the only league that was finishing this weekend where everything was still up for grabs, with exception to the title, of course. We'll get to the Champions Juventus shortly, but let's start at the bottom end of the table, because relegation has not been this exciting in the Italian top flight for several seasons now. And coming into the final match day, five clubs potentially to join, both Verona and Benevento, to be relegated into Serie B next season. Those five clubs were Chievo and Udinese on 37 points, Cagliari on 36, Spal and Crotone on 35. So lots of results to factor in, all the matches that they were in playing at the same time. And in the end, the unfortunate Crotone, which is hardly surprising for me, was our prediction last week. Crotone join Verona and Benevento in Serie B next season.
And I had to go back to match day 19, which was the halfway point of the season, basically when the Campione d'Inverno in Italy, with the winter champion, is announced. And I wanted to see where both these teams were. Spal and Crotone basically just flipped. Everybody else is about three or four positions higher. So it just goes to show you how woeful both teams have been. Unfortunately, there needs to be a loser in this one, and it happened to be Crotone. But as for the others, well, it almost feels as if they were sort of preempting this result. They were going to get it down to the last day, and then due to the results and due to how things were panned out, they were all going to win. And somehow that's actually what has happened, and they're all safe.
It's exactly how it happened. Udinese, a side who have not been able to win to save themselves in 2018, they won and they saved themselves. They won 1-0 at home to Bologna. That was enough for them. Spal, we mentioned that they were really poor earlier in the campaign. They have ended the season in emphatic form. Just two defeats in their last 12 or 13 fixtures. So really impressive turnaround. A 3-1 win against Sampdoria. Disappointing way for them to end the season. Chievo, 1-0 win over Benevento. Cagliari, 1-0 win over Atalanta. So all those sides did what they needed to do, meaning that Crotone's only hope was to go to Naples, beat Napoli. That they did not do. A 2-1 win to Napoli, and that is that. So as I said, Crotone, Verona, and Benevento to play in the Serie B next season. Replacing them, two confirmed already, Empoli and Parma. Incredible story. This one, two big clubs in Empoli and Parma returning, one still to join, of course. But Parma, a side who were declared bankrupt just three seasons ago, have gone from Serie D to C to B, now to A in consecutive campaigns, becoming the first ever club to do that. Alessandro Lucarelli, the captain of Parma, went down with the club from A to D three seasons ago and has just led them back up to Serie A. So an incredible story there. Will be great to see Parma back in the top flight next season.
And we have to congratulate him, because he did basically what the Juventus players did, what some of them did. I mean, obviously the Buffon, the Nedveds, the Del Pietros, the Trezeguets. This is even bigger in my eyes. I mean, Parma may not be the star-studded club that Juventus are, but to do that, that is some serious dedication to the
club.
That is some very serious dedication to not only the team, but to obviously a big cut in your pay packet to obviously keep the club going and surviving, because, you know, we know financial issues is what keeps these clubs going. And, you know, to avoid that, he's had to do and sacrifice a lot. So well done to him, and absolutely deserves every single thing he gets in Serie A from now on.
And certainly in the twilight of his career as well, it would have been easy to throw in the towel, retire, move on. He stuck with them, and that is an incredible return to the top flight. And hopefully Parma, a club who have won some European trophies, they've been a top Italian club for many years, hopefully we can see them now reclaim their status amongst Italy's very best. And who knows, maybe return to the European arena in coming seasons if they can bring in some famous names. Now, that was the bottom end of the table. Plenty of action at the top. Now, let's start with Juve. We'll not get this one
we'll
out of the way,
over.
But let's gloss over this one. Juve, Verona, final game of the season, dead rubber, of course, but the match itself marked the end to the career of Gianluigi Buffon, of course, the Juventus captain and goalkeeper and former Italian national team captain, confirming last week that this would be his final match with the Bianconeri. However, as I predicted, Rick, he will go on, potentially. So he has not retired officially from football. However, he has confirmed that there are one or two offers abroad that he is considering, in addition to director roles with FIFA, the Italian Federation, and Juventus. We'll give you our thoughts on that shortly. But for the match itself, marked the end of Buffon's 876-game career there, 395 clean sheets, 11 Italian championships, well, nine to 11, but he's won 11. Two, of course, were withdrawn due to the Calciopolis scandal in the early 2000s. A 12-time goalkeeper of the year, 5 Coppa Italia titles, and, of course, with the national team that won World Cup in 2006. So his career in Italy over, may play on. But the day itself, remarkable scenes in Torino, a beautiful gesture by the crowd, and it was a stunning evening in Italy. Of course, they celebrated their Scudetto, celebrated with an open-top bus afterwards, after the match was done in the streets. It was a remarkable day for Buffon, and great to see him. He was withdrawn for Pinsolio, a young Juventus goalkeeper who made his debut for the club midway through the second half, and he actually spent the majority of the remaining minutes of the match going around the stadium, as they tend to do in Italy these days, these legends retiring. Del Piero, I recall. Totti, of course, was a famous celebration last season, but Buffon actually went around and greeted every single individual in the front row of the stadium from ground level as if he knew them. It was unbelievable just to see the emotion invested by the players, and the time that Buffon actually spent with everyone was one of the more beautiful moments I've seen in Italian football.
I haven't seen that moment since Del Piero, and that's what this moment brought back. I mean, Del Piero started the streak 7 seasons ago when he retired and he was able to lift the Scudetto after everything that he went through. And now Buffon was able to do it once again as the streak continues, hopefully beyond next season. But yeah, you're right. It was a beautiful moment. Juventus seem to be doing these moments really, really nicely. I think they've learned from the Nedved and the Del Piero sagas how to greet and say goodbye to their champions. And this was another perfect one. Perfect send-off.
By far one of the most adored players in Italy and on the planet. Buffon, for some, could not put a foot wrong. Others argue the other way. Irrespective of your take, though, was stunning scenes in Torino for the match, and obviously enjoyed the celebrations that followed. It wasn't as emotional as people were making it out to be, though. Online, on Twitter, I was obviously watching it very closely, but it wasn't as emotional. And I put that down to the fact that he's not retiring. Because when Francesco Totti last season in Rome retired, his final match and appearance against Genoa at the Stadio Olimpico, that, also with Del Piero in Torino in 2012, those were moments which were extremely emotional for everyone, obviously, there at the stadium and around the world. This was not as emotional. Obviously, there were tears everywhere, and it was difficult to comprehend the fact that Juventus would be parting ways with their legendary goalkeeper. But the fact that he is going to play on, it doesn't sit right with me and some other fans that I've spoken to about this. Now, Buffon moving to a Paris Saint-Germain, moving to a Liverpool, moving to a Real Madrid, according to the reports, I just feel that, unlike the Italian national team, where it's time to start a new cycle, if the Agnelli family and if Juventus are happy with the performances of Buffon, they have been satisfied with his performances this season, I just don't understand why he would move on. If he has another season or two to play, surely he could continue doing it at club level, at the highest level, if he's capable. If they thought, no, it's time to move on, we need to bring in someone younger, I can understand, as per the Italian national team, with Donnarumma, Perin and the other
goalkeepers. Well, even as per Szczesny. Szczesny's only mid to late 20s. So you're replacing a 40-year-old legend, yes, he is a legend, with a 28-year-old far more than capable. If he does go to the teams that you've mentioned, Real Madrid, so you've got Keylor Navas, who's mid to late 20s, if not early 30s. Lloris Karius at Liverpool and Mignolet, okay, they aren't the greatest keepers, but Karius is mid-20s, Mignolet is more than likely on his way out. Paris Saint-Germain, you've got the president, Al Khelaifi, coming out only 24 hours ago saying, our faith is still with Areola, but we do like Buffon at the same time. Well, you replied...
I understand looking after those waiting in the wings at international level. It's very different. You're preparing for international tournaments, which are a couple of years away. But in the case of Juventus, and this is why I say it was emotional, but not as emotional, I just believe that I'm not sold on the fact that this is the right move for Buffon. I think if he wanted to play on one more season, why not just stay at Juve and finish up at Juve? He will always be a Juve legend regardless. But could you imagine in 12 months' time, this weekend, Champions League final, Real-Liverpool. Imagine in 12 months' time, we're talking a Juve-PSG Champions League final, the final match for Gianluigi Buffon, and he's in a PSG shirt.
It just wouldn't sit right with anyone, would it?
Oh, it doesn't sit right, and it wouldn't be the right way to go out, irrespective of the result. Imagine PSG beat Juve. Imagine Juve beat PSG.
On penalties, especially.
It'd be a strange, strange set of events. We'll see what happens, but that's for me. I'm not so sold that this is the right move for Buffon and for all involved. But regardless, he will go on. Make no mistake,
I think we just have to wait and see what move he actually does make. I mean, he has been linked to these clubs and they are strong rumours. But if he ultimately doesn't and he ultimately takes up, say, a directorship role, which he was talking about in his final press conference, where he was saying that one of the things he would like to do, and there is a consideration, is to actually get into some sort of directorial role, you know, behind the scenes, whether it be at UEFA, whether it be at FIFA, whether it even be at Juventus, and he has to go through this management and leadership training. He may take that role up and sort of blow any of this discussion out the water and not get into the Monday to Friday type training scenarios with a goalkeeper coach ready for a Saturday or a Sunday match.
He will, but it'll be after another season somewhere else. He'll certainly play on because that's what I'm saying. Even the press conference, his farewell press conference, there was one teammate in the room. Now, I'm not saying that's because of any bad blood, but there was one teammate there present, and that's Giorgio Chiellini, who has been confirmed as the new Juventus captain for next season. But the fact is there wasn't as much emotion as if this weekend was the final time we'd ever see Buffon on the football pitch. And that's the only thing for me why I'm raising this point. Regardless, though, very emotional scenes, a beautiful moment to send off the greatest goalkeeper, arguably in the history of the game. So that's Buffon's time at Juve done. We'll keep you posted on his movements because a decision is expected this week. That will be remarkable. Straight away, if it is a Liverpool or Madrid, it will certainly come post-Champions League final. But here we go, the new chapter to the story about to come. A few other side notes from Juve's win at the weekend. The final match for Stefan Lichtsteiner, of course, the legendary Swiss right-back who has been at Juve, one of five players to win seven straight Scudetti, alongside Buffon, Chiellini, Barzagli and Marchisio as well. He missed a penalty with his final kick in a Juve shirt. Very disappointing. Would have been a nice way to finish off. And Marchisio ends the match winning a trophy, becoming the most successful mid in the history of the club. 15 titles.
Yes, congratulations to Claudio Marchisio. As for Lichtsteiner, he was the first person to score at the Juventus Stadium. It would have been a nice touch if he could close the season out with being the last. And unfortunately, his penalties, his penalty-taking abilities, they're not the greatest. So hopefully the likes of Borussia Dortmund are made fully aware of this and are shown this video time and time again. And hopefully he doesn't take one of the five penalties they may need to qualify for another round somewhere in the Champions League or Europa League.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. You're not wrong there. Now, just finally before moving away from Juve, lots of talk about who has been the player of the season, who has been the most integral part of the campaign. One individual who I'm going to put in there is their manager, Massimiliano Allegri, as the most important figure at Juventus this season. And the reason I say that is because he's received a lot of criticism at times from fans, from pundits, from everyone who has watched Juve play at some point. There was a statistic last week that in 104 previous fixtures, he's fielded 102 different lineups. This is a manager who, love him or hate him, he just continually gets the results, and the consistency cannot be argued with. He has been exceptional, and in a season when Napoli have finished second with a record points tally for a second place finishing side, 91 points. He has seen off the challenge of his greatest threat in his tenure with the club. A remarkable season by Allegri. Rumours linking him away. He has, though, come out recently and said he will be staying unless they fire him. So Allegri to remain with Juve, I think, a smart move. And as I said, despite all the criticism he has faced, another exceptional campaign, and he'll have a great summer resting and preparing for the new campaign.
He'll probably be on a beach somewhere lying about with not having to worry about Italian national duties for any of his players. So he can go out and enjoy a little bit of Sicily or Sardinia or wherever he decides to go, maybe even the French Riviera. But getting back to, in all seriousness, what more can the man do? I mean, he was criticised partway through the season for not playing beautiful football. You know, his teams weren't about scoring 5-6 goals a match. They weren't about not conceding and keeping clean sheets on a regular basis. He achieved the latter very much so, and he achieved the former by getting these 1-2-1, 3-1 type results on a very regular basis, winning matches. And that's what sometimes people forget. You're about the results each week. The fan wants to see the result come their way each week. They do care that it is played beautifully or not. But you know what? The overriding factor is I want to see a W and I want to see the 3 points in the column.
And that's what he delivered. And he delivered 95 points. Not just three, but 95 points. A remarkable season for Allegri and for Juventus. Just wrapping up the other results in Serie A in the final round of the campaign. Sassuolo 0, Roma 1. A nice end to the season for Roma, winning with an own goal to ensure they finish third. Obviously, a return to the Champions League next season. AC Milan confirmed a return to the Europa League group stage. A 5-1 win. They came from behind there, defeating Fiorentina. Wonderful way for them to end the season. And good to see Gianluigi Donnarumma, a keeper who has not been loved by his fans this season for varying reasons, threw his gloves into the crowd at the weekend and they were accepted this time because he gave his shirt last weekend and they threw it right back at him. So good to see that ending on a high. Genoa losing 1-2 to Torino at home. And the final match, this was the biggest match in Europe at the weekend, with exception to those farewelling some stars. Lazio v Inter, winner take all. Winner goes through to the UEFA Champions League. The loser into the Europa League. Lazio could go through with a draw. Inter needing all 3 points to return to Europe's elite for the first time in 6 seasons. Here's how it played out.
Anderson with the cross now. Milinkovic-Savic holds it up, helps it back, and deflected in. Lazio have the lead. Adam Maricic's fourth goal of the season and surely his most valuable. Not cleared, surely in, and finally helped in. Inter Milan have the equaliser. Danilo D'Ambrosio with it. It's a scruffy goal. Anderson's the man over. Felipe Anderson! Lazio have the lead again. Felipe Anderson with his fourth of the season. And it's the Eagles who regain flight. Icardi, surely brought down, penalty Inter. Icardi scores! The dream is alive for Inter Milan. And Senad Lulic is off. Senad Lulic will walk. It's a second yellow card. Lazio have completely lost their heads here. Brozovic with it. Headed down and in! Inter Milan have come from behind. And 10 men Lazio are stunned.
10 men Lazio miss out on the Champions League. Unbelievable. What a match. What a way to end the season. Inter win it 3-2. Return to the Champions League for the first time in 6 seasons. Finally, they're back. It's the first time in a long time that Italy have had 4 clubs in the Champions League. That's why Inter have been missing out. So Inter join Roma, Napoli and Juve, of course, directly in the group stage. No more qualification phase. No more playoff round. Inter go through. And poor old Lazio, the best attack statistically in the competition, one of the most consistent sides. Think about Inter and Roma, some of their patches during the season, how poor they were. But Lazio, incredibly, miss out with 10 minutes to spare in the final match of the season.
How did Lazio stuff that one up? Well, I'm still trying to work it out. I watched the game very early this morning. I actually got up for one of the rare times to actually watch a Lazio and Inter match. I don't really have too much of an interest in them. But I got up because of how much what was at stake. And I was baffled. How do you go up 2-1? Those two goals were great. Maricic and Anderson, they were great goals. If you actually get a chance to see them, they are great goals, especially Anderson, just how he was able to sort of fleet foot his way with the through pass and then smack it past Handanovic on the first time. It was a great goal. And then all of a sudden, to basically, you know, I hate to say the word, but they essentially choked. It's a horrible way to say it. I mean, Vishino's goal for the 3-2, Milinkovic, 9 times out of 10, had gotten to every one of those headers. The one time he actually missed it was the one that actually cost his side a potential Champions League spot. I mean, you have to feel so bad for them. And unfortunately, Simone Inzaghi's team might actually get ripped apart come the summer. And that's not a good sign to say.
Vecino's header there, 81st minute, scored in the exact same corner and pocket of the goal that Manolas scored that goal against Barcelona, where, of course, Roma beaten 3-0 to go through. Reminded me of that. It was incredible that Inter had come from behind twice, a side who have been inconsistent for large parts of 2018 and somehow have found a way into the UEFA Champions League next season. In answer to your question, Rick, how did they let this slip? Well, 2 points from the final nine, 2 points from the final nine available, of course, I mean, the final three matches. That's why. It wasn't just this game. The draw to Crotone and draw to Atalanta is the reason why. So winless in their last three, despite Inter going down to Sassuolo at the San Siro last weekend, Lazio only have themselves to blame.
And you do, and you're right. I mean, you also factor in that Senad Lulic got a red card. He got sent off. Simone Inzaghi decided to sub off the capocannoniere in Ciro Immobile. I mean, the time you actually need a goal is when you keep your best striker on and you decide to take him off. Yep. Bit of an interesting call, that one.
Well, in the end, Icardi did score, as you heard. So Icardi and Immobile share the capocannoniere award, 29 goals each. So they're the equal top scorer in Italy for this season. But that will mean very little for Immobile, as he'll be playing Europa League football next season unless he were to leave the club, which I don't think will happen. So
can't see it at the moment, unless there's a big offer from a Champions League club outside of Italy.
What a disappointing end for Inzaghi and Lazio. Level on points with Inter. By far a better goal difference than Inter. But head-to-head in Italy, Inter through to the UEFA Champions League for the first time in six long seasons. The final side note to this was, this is incredible. De Vrij, the defender, you're across this.
That's why you're chuckling there.
You're enjoying this one. I haven't even said the story.
Don't have to.
He has already agreed terms to move to Inter Milan from Lazio in the summer. He played for Lazio in this game. So Inzaghi has started a player. Now, I'm not suggesting anything here, but Inzaghi has started a player who, in a winner-takes-all clash with the victor going straight to the UEFA Champions League, he has started a player who, playing against who will be his new club next season, you get where I'm going.
Talk to me about the penalty and what happened here. And you've just spoiled my little moment there. Who was the person who happened to give away a penalty?
It was him.
To Mauro Icardi, who then slotted it in and made it 2-2.
And Icardi, after the match, came out and said that it was destiny that De Vrij was going to foul him for a penalty. Now, that's not good comments to be making in a match of this significance. But post-match, the defender was in tears on the sidelines. He would be gutted. Very, very gutted. It would have been a very difficult evening for him. He was substituted for 96 minutes from time, and that was only 6 minutes after he had given away that penalty. Now, that penalty was to make them 2-2, Vecino scoring the winner 3 minutes later, and then De Vrij was substituted. So that is one of the strangest side notes to any match of this magnitude that I've ever heard. He will be playing Champions League football next season. And had he led his side to a win, he would have been playing Europa League football next season.
Just weird, isn't it?
Very strange. I'm not sure why he played in that match, but he did. And his side lost, which benefits him. That's a strange way to win the campaign. Nevertheless, there's still plenty more to get through in Europe. It was a big, big weekend in Spain. Some very, very emotional farewells. Fernando Torres moving on. Andres Iniesta, of course. So much more to get through. The German Cup final as well. Can't wait to bring you that. I've got a little surprise for you.
He's not just graceful. He's strong and determined. Now look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
Here's Raul. Ho-ho! Zidane. Fantastic.
Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte. On FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Live across Australia and right around the world, this is the Euro Show on FNR, Football Nation Radio. You just heard there in the break, a couple of goals scored by Fernando Torres at the weekend. What an emotional weekend in Spain, Rick. Fernando Torres, Andres Iniesta. Iniesta, a player for me who I've said is the greatest Spanish player to ever play the game, and there have been a large number of them. Very, very fitting that both players went out on their own terms. Torres scoring a brace, wearing the captain's armband. Iniesta at home, his side get a win, passes the armband on to Lionel Messi. Very emotional times, obviously, in addition to Buffon and a few other legends who have moved on this season. But for Spanish football, Torres and Iniesta, really two of the modern-day greats to bid farewell at this point in time. We know Iniesta set to move now potentially to Japan, reports firming that he will leave for there. And Torres, he will continue playing, but who knows where. But certainly the last time we'll see them playing top-flight football in Spain. Very emotional times for all Spanish lovers of the game.
Torres scored the 2008 winner in the Euro Cup final.
He did.
And Iniesta scored the 2010 World Cup final winner.
That's why I said very so that's why it's famous very, names.
That's why they are. And they're going to stay in history and folklore for my eyes for quite some time, unless Spain sort of go through another one of these sort of dynasties where they won their three championships in four years, if I'm not mistaken, or four seasons, anyway, or five seasons.
Well, three international tournaments in a row.
In a row.
So two European championships, the World Cup between 08 and 12. They can do that again, but obviously these players, and given the fact that Spain had never won a World Cup prior to that, and really, given the squads that they've had over the journey, have never dominated the international arena as they should have, now these are the players who have really commenced a new era and a new dawn for Spanish football, because we know why they didn't win for so long. Barcelona, Real Madrid players never got along. Coming together in the Spanish national team was always an issue. May still be the case, but they've certainly ironed out a few differences and they have started to lead the way for this new generation of Spanish football.
And
as
if
I said,
they have at least ironed out their differences, they've at least put them to the side whilst they are in a training camp and on the pitch for those 90 to 120 minutes, depending on the match and the circumstances. They've at least learned very well. This is compared differently to what Rio Ferdinand was saying a couple of weeks ago, where he and all his Manchester United teammates couldn't get along with the likes of Lampard and the Chelsea teammates and Gerrard and his Liverpool teammates.
Exactly.
So very different golden generation there at England. And what did they achieve? Ultimately nothing. What did the Spanish revolution, I guess, in their footballing department with Real Madrid and Barcelona, putting their differences aside, what did they achieve? Well, three great international tournament victories.
Absolutely. And I'm sure plenty more to come. And lots of thanks to this man, Andres Iniesta, who was substituted late on in Barcelona's final round fixture with Real Sociedad, the last match of the La Liga season. Here's some of the action as Iniesta was substituted for the final time as a Barcelona player.
We're going to see Paco Alcácer come on and is replacing Andres Iniesta. This is history in the making. The whole of the Camp Nou on their feet. Everybody around the world watching on La Liga TV, please get on your feet and say thank you to Andres Iniesta. We are never going to see his like again. Andres Iniesta leaving the pitch for the last time wearing the red and blue of Football Club Barcelona. The Camp Nou pays homage to the genius of Andres Iniesta.
Absolutely. Farewell to Andres Iniesta. And, of course, we wish him well wherever his football takes him next. But Vissel Kobe, apparently, reportedly,
strongly linked.
Being linked. So he probably will end up in the J-League in Japan. We wish him well and lots of good times there.
But I guess now the question has to be asked, what do Barcelona do?
Well, what do they do? Coutinho, he put in a very nice performance. He scored a wonderful goal in the match.
Playing in a very, very similar position on the park to the person that is retiring.
Maybe, there you go. Maybe there's a direct replacement there. Look, Coutinho, obviously, probably a little more used to being a bit more upfield than Iniesta, than a traditional central midfielder. But maybe Coutinho, a player who can fill the void. Of course, they still have Busquets and these players in there as well.
Rakitic.
They're very talented. Griezmann linked. They'll find a way. They will be okay. But Iniesta, very difficult to replace. And obviously, they did it with Xavi. Now they're going to have to do it with Iniesta and really try and maintain the level of consistency that they have over the years, because Barcelona have just, well, they've never slipped off. They've maintained a very high level both domestically and in Europe. But the loss of Iniesta, it'll be interesting to see how quickly they do recover and get back to their very best, because he will be a big loss, not only on the pitch, but obviously in the dressing room and off it as well. He has been brilliant. We've loved watching him play. But Barcelona, though, it was all about them on the night. 93 points, they win another title, 14 points clear of Atleti. Now, Torres, as I mentioned, did score a double, but Atleti held to a 2-2 draw by Eibar. And Eibar finishing the top half, a wonderful season for them. Real Madrid wrapping up the results elsewhere. Real Madrid, 2-2 draw away to Villarreal. A couple of talking points out of this one. Gareth Bale again impresses. He has to start the Champions League final for me. His form in the last few matches has been very good. And obviously there are quite a few names. Zidane said already he knows that he's got a headache this week to decide what 11 will actually start the final. But Bale in these last few fixtures has been arguably their best player.
He's put his hand up strongly, hasn't he?
Well, he's been back to his best. And whether it is because the foot is off the gas a little or whatever the case is, he's been very strong, very consistent, and also scoring and getting involved in lots of the action. Cristiano Ronaldo scored again, his 450th in a Real Madrid shirt. 8 seasons in a row now, he has scored 50-plus goals for club and country. And Luka Zidane, the son of Zinedine Zidane, started in goal, his debut, first ever appearance for Los Blancos there, 2-2 draw, made a couple of errors, but was also okay throughout the fixture. He obviously won't start in the UEFA Champions League final, but good to see him. That was a very famous moment for the father and son on the night.
I'd say it'd be a very proud moment.
Absolutely.
I mean, it reminds me of, say, the Larsson family with Sebastian and his son, also Henrik, doing something very, very similar. I can't really think of too many father-son combinations in world football. But if you do know any, please send them through and tweet us.
Please do. We're at FNR underscore radio. And certainly not at that level, Real Madrid.
No, not at that level,
That's as good as it gets. Elsewhere, wrapping up the final round of Spanish football from this season. Celta Vigo 4, Levante 2. So Levante beat Barcelona, then lose to Celta Vigo. They finished 15th with 46 points. Very congested there mid-table this season in Spain. Leganés had a 3-2 win over our favourites, Betis. So Betis finished 6th. They go to the Europa League. Great season for them. 60 points. 1 point behind Villarreal, who finished 5th with 61. Valencia, they finished in 4th. They will return to the UEFA Champions League. A 2-1 win over Deportivo La Coruña. Las Palmas 1, Girona 2, Malaga 0, Getafe 1. And Sevilla picked up a 1-0 win over Alaves to ensure that they will go through the qualifying rounds of the Europa League next season.
Yeah, we talked about it last week when we said Sevilla are going to have a very long road if they actually do want to make the Europa League group stage, and they're going to go the very, very long way, aren't they?
They will. A very long way, very long season awaits for Sevilla. And after their heroics in the Champions League this season, it will be a very difficult and different tale next season.
And one team that actually did make the Champions League, and you pointed it out, Valencia. How good is it to see Losquer back and also with a decent squad that could actually compete? If they can hold the very similar team together, if they can keep a lot of these players together, I know they're going to be fighting with Inter about Jeffrey Condogbia. He's one of the big ones, and Yoash Cancelo, he's probably the other one that there's going to be a bit of contention as to whether he stays or whether he goes. If they can keep a few of these pieces together, they can lure a few more in now that they have Champions League football. You know, watch out. Maybe a top three in the future could be not far away.
No, absolutely. And, of course, the benefit with the revamped Champions League format, finishing fourth but go directly through to the competition. No need for qualification. Just repeating that, in England, in Germany, in Spain and in Italy, the top four directly through to the group stage under this revamped format. No need for anyone to be qualifying. This season, we saw Liverpool and Hoffenheim meet in a qualifying round. No more of that. Directly through 16 participants from those top four leagues, 3 from the French Ligue 1, who is the 5th top-ranked league. Now, the French League wrapped up at the weekend. Caen and Paris Saint-Germain, 0-0 draw. Now, this was a disappointing way for PSG to end the season because they have been a shadow of themselves in recent weeks since wrapping up the treble. Really have played different lineups and have not taken it all too seriously. But the reason that this was such a talking point was because it did affect some of the sides at the bottom end of the table. Now, Paris Saint-Germain, winless in their last 4 fixtures in the season, very, very disappointing, and not scoring in the last 2. For Caen, by Caen scoring or obtaining a point on the final match day, it meant that Lille and Toulouse both were impacted because had Caen lost this match, they would have been in the relegation playoff spot. And instead, Toulouse are in the relegation playoff spot, meaning they will have to navigate their way through a one-off head-to-head match against a side from the second division. So we don't like to see teams do that at this point in time, but Paris Saint-Germain, they did win the title a long time ago, so they have every right to do it, I guess.
I guess what also is interesting is PSG's decline has sort of gone alongside with them actually being given the title and then all the rumours about Emery actually going. So it's similar to what happened or what has happened with Eintracht Frankfurt, and we'll talk about them a little bit later on. But as soon as the rumours that a coach is going and another one is about to be appointed, you could see the slight and the sharp decline in the team, and that's exactly what's happened there with PSG.
Absolutely, and it's not ideal, but again, they're in a position where they're able to make these decisions a little earlier than they may have needed to. Mm. And they have, but they still win the title, and they win it convincingly by 13 points. We know what the big race in the Ligue 1 this weekend was, and it was all about the Champions League. Top three go through, and Monaco and Lyon will join PSG. The week from hell for Marseille continues.
They are. Not only did they lose the Europa Cup final, then didn't make the Champions League, so now they're in the Europa League group stage. Dimitri Payet is injured. He won't be going beyond this season to the World Cup, so we'll have to wait and see what his future lies, but not the best thing there for the former Champions League winners of 1993.
So coming into the final round, Monaco, Lyon, Marseille, all separated by only a few points. Monaco went to Troyes, who were already relegated, 1-3-0, no issues whatsoever. So it was left to Lyon and Marseille. Now, all these fixtures were played at the same time. Lyon at home to Nice and Marseille at home to Amiens. Half-time, Lyon trailed 1-0. Marseille were in the box seat to leapfrog Lyon. Now, keep in mind, Marseille and Lyon do not like each other. These two clubs, really big rivals, really dislike one another. So as it stood at halftime, live standings, Marseille were going through. They led 2-1 at home to Amiens at halftime. Now, that's how it finished that match. But unfortunately for them, the pie, hat-trick second half, 3-2. Lyon defeat Nice. Lyon go through to the Champions League. Marseille will have to settle for a spot in the Europa League with 77 points. Very unlucky.
It's very unlucky. I mean, they would have made Champions League in just about every other league with 77 points. So it just goes to show either how weak the remaining part of Ligue 1 is or how strong those top four are. Nonetheless, though, what a season those front three have had at Lyon. Depay, I think, 22 goals. Fekir, 19. The former Real Madrid player, I can't remember his name, has escaped my mind. Diaz, you go.
Yep.
Another 18 goals. I mean, they are almost numbers that we started to see with the front three from either Real Madrid or even Liverpool. I mean, they are on a lower level, but they are mightily impressive. And if Lyon can keep those three, which is going to be mightily, mightily hard. I mean, Liverpool are going to go very hard for Fekir, they're saying. If they can keep those three, I mean, even if it's another 10-goal return from each of them next season in a Champions League, you would take that as a Lyon supporter.
Absolutely. But unlike Marseille, if they do lose Fekir, who is strongly linked to Liverpool, they will have money and they will have the appeal of the Champions League to actually invest that money in someone who wants to play at the highest level. So that is the difference between playing Champions League and missing Champions League. Lyon, they've got that bargaining chip in their back pocket ahead of the new season. Just wrapping up the other results in the final round of Ligue 1. Dijon 2, Angers 1. Metz, well, they're getting relegated. 0-4 defeat to Bordeaux. And with the win, Bordeaux secure themselves a return to European football. Bordeaux were always in the Champions League in the early 2000s, late 2000s.
Yeah.
They were always a consistent side. They're in the Europa League next season. A 4-0 win away to Metz. Nantes, 1-0 win at home to Strasbourg in Claudio Ranieri's final match in charge of the club. Rennes, they're in the Europa League as well. 1-1 home draw with Montpellier. Saint-Étienne 5, Lille 0. Despite the 5-0 defeat, Lille avoid the relegation playoff by 1 point. That is enough. Toulouse had a 2-1 win over Guingamp, but they will go through that relegation playoff with that match set to come very shortly. So that is the end of the French Ligue 1 campaign. Big season ahead next season, of course, with three French clubs guaranteed a spot in the UEFA Champions League. Big time for French football. And who knows, if they can continue accelerating the progress of the competition, they may be in with a chance of leapfrogging an Italy, a Germany or an England for that fourth-ranked UEFA coefficient ranking, which would mean they would then have four clubs in the Champions League, but they'd certainly need some success from Paris Saint-Germain and perhaps a Bordeaux in the Europa League to really make some inroads in terms of coefficient ranking and points there. No Bundesliga action at the weekend, but there was the relegation playoff between Wolfsburg and Kiel. Wolfsburg won 3-1 the first leg at home, second leg to come. So we'll review that match a little later in the week. But Rick, the
Adrian
German Cup final, Bayern Munich and Eintracht Frankfurt. Why was this such a special match coming in, Rick?
Well, the specialness about it all was because if Eintracht Frankfurt were to have won, they would have qualified directly for the Europa League group stage. Had they lost and Bayern Munich won, Stuttgart would have actually been the team to go through to the Europa League and qualify.
And that, combined with the fact that Frankfurt's manager has already agreed a deal to join Bayern Munich next season, made this a tantalising fixture. Have a listen to our preview of the fixture from Thursday's program and then the action, how it unfolded, and then we'll review what was a very famous German Cup final between Bayern Munich and Eintracht Frankfurt. Bayern Munich, of course, celebrated the Bundesliga title at the weekend, despite winning it 4 months ago, and they were defeated 4-1 to Stuttgart at home. I'm not reading much into this result, but their foot is certainly off the gas a little for Munich in recent weeks. They were comfortably favoured to take care of the impressive Stuttgart. They failed to do so. They conceded 4, and now they have not held a clean sheet. They've not kept a clean sheet in any match for 5. And I really feel that Frankfurt, with nothing to lose, might be able to spring a surprise. I'm not saying they'll win, but Frankfurt, a side who have really struggled since their manager was announced that he'd be going to Bayern Munich, so which is a nice side point for this match anyway. I just feel that maybe a shock could be on the cards here, because Bayern Munich in the last few games, 2 wins in their last 5 in all competitions. That, of course, includes the elimination to Real Madrid in the UEFA Champions League. They have been scoring goals as well, but they've also been conceding more than we've become accustomed to seeing over time. So Bayern Munich's a favourites, but Frankfurt perhaps can spring a surprise in their manager's final game with the club. I'm tipping an upset, though. I'm going to go out and say that Frankfurt will win this 2-1.
Rebic bundles Thiago off the ball, and he's created a chance for himself. It's Enter Rebic! And Frankfurt lead! Just as he did in the final last year against Dortmund, Enter Rebic finds the net for Frankfurt. Kimmich. Oh, and Müller has equalised! Oh, Lewandowski. Lewandowski brings Bayern level. Now Rebic can run again. It's Ante Rebic! And Rebic puts Frankfurt ahead. 2 goals for Ante Rebic. 2 goals for Frankfurt. Almost out of nowhere. And now Frankfurt can break. And Ulreich is out of his goal. And Frankfurt are going to win it here. The DFB Cup final has been won by Frankfurt.
And we are live in Berlin. Jesus Christ.
Well done, Frankfurt. Rick, that's some seriously good analysis
that, is very
that
well
I
done.
Provided Thursday. So we got the results almost correctly, had not been for that very, very late goal where the goalkeeper and everyone was up the park. But 3-1 is how it finishes Frankfurt, German Cup champions.
Well done to them. I mean, considering they've been in the top 4 or even top 5, because that battle, as you probably are well aware, between 2nd and 5th has been very, very tight all season long. I think it was only separated by about 4 points in the grand scheme of things at the end of it. So very well done to Frankfurt. Very well done to Niko Kovac, who was able to put aside his new managerial contract and his new team that he'll be joining. And enjoy it, Frankfurt. Celebrate very, very hard, because it's going to be a very long wait for another trophy, to be perfectly honest.
They did. If you've seen the vision and images, remarkable scenes. Frankfurt really celebrating as if it was a title. So congratulations to them. Commiserations to Bayern Munich, but you guys have won more than enough. And I'm very happy that my prediction was bang on. So congratulations to them. And obviously good luck to Kovac and Munich next season. After our final break for the day, some other title celebrations and news, the FA Cup review and some transfer stories all swirling around Europe. We'll wrap up another edition of the Euro Show. Stay tuned. You're listening to FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia.
He's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
Here's Raul.
Bein Sports Connect, Australia's number one football streaming destination. The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back for the final time today to the Euro Show right here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Hope you've enjoyed the program. There was a small matter, Rick, of the FA Cup at the weekend. Chelsea winning it by 1-0. Strangely, Roman Abramovich, the owner of Chelsea, was not there. It's been revealed that the UK have not renewed his visa. So
strange.
Unfortunately, he missed the final as a result. But Chelsea winning it 1-0. Lots of criticism directed towards Mourinho, his approach. the result, of course. But another disappointing end to another disappointing season for Mourinho. I'd go as far as saying the most underwhelming second place finish in the history of football. Very disappointing because they finished second, but they were far from impressive. Look at Liverpool, even Chelsea now winning the FA Cup. Some sides who may not have finished as high as them in the standings. Disappointing end for Mourinho.
But it's the argument that we were saying a little bit earlier. Mourinho's done what Max Allegri has done. He's gotten the results. I mean, yes, they did finish second, but they were 15 points behind, but they did still finish second. He's gotten the result. That's ultimately what has counted. I mean, of course, one won the Scudetto, but second place in England is nothing to really sneeze at.
No, that's right, but the small...
Sure, they didn't play beautiful football.
No, that's right, but also the small issue is the fact that United are a big club. They are a big club who like to win big things, and they're not winning anything at the moment, let alone big things.
Well, they won something big last season, so I think you have to cut him a little bit of slack. He did walk away with the Europa League. I mean, it is a small trophy in Europe, so you give him a little bit of a cut, you know, a bit of a slack.
No, I agree, but I don't think United fans would be satisfied with a Europa League. Even though it was good for their development and progress, I think they want more. And they certainly don't want to see Manchester City, their crosstown rivals, winning more than they are, and that's the issue at the moment. And that's where I feel that they didn't have the patience with managers prior to Mourinho. They do need that. But obviously bringing in a big name like Mourinho, there's more of a demand for success. It's not coming. It must be a very frustrating time to be a United supporter.
Just keep strong is all I'm going to say.
They do need to keep strong. But it doesn't feel for me that they are going to win anything again next season. The development just doesn't seem to be there. They seem to have key players. Pogba's the one who's well noted. But they seem to have key players who they've spent a lot of money on. Who, I don't know, they're just not doing the right thing. I don't believe in the system at United at the moment. I don't believe in their direction. And that's why I don't really foresee any silverware coming anytime soon.
Is it the system or is it the formation?
Oh, it could be anything.
Because
I just don't believe in what they're doing.
I don't think the two of them, they are inextricably linked, yes, but I think that you have to separate them, the two, with Man United. And I mean, what formation did Man United really play all season long? And could you say that they would do that next season and get the same result?
Yeah, no, you're right. There are lots of issues there. But sometimes when there are multiple issues in a club or a business, whatever the case is, keep it simple, focus on the key points. And then they may start to see some progress. And I think that's the key.
Build the base.
Build the base. Exactly right.
And United have that base. They've invested in some key players. They just have to now build beyond the core and build out.
That's right. Wise investments. And just grow towards bigger and better things in the future. I think that's the message everyone can learn from. So United, nothing again this season. Chelsea win the FA Cup by a goal to nil. Crosstown in England, the women's top flight in England. Joe Montemurro and Arsenal, their season is over. They had a 6-1 win away to Bristol City yesterday to complete the campaign. Unfortunately, though, Manchester City winning 3-0 at Everton means that Arsenal finished third, 1 point behind Manchester City, meaning that they miss out on Champions League football next season. So Chelsea the champions, Manchester City second. Those two sides directly through to the Champions League, no European football for Arsenal. And it's a shame because he drew 0-0 Arsenal with Yeovil, a side who finished bottom with just 2 points just a matter of a few weeks ago. So it could have been Champions League for Montemurro and Arsenal next season, not to be. Galatasaray in Turkey, they have won a record 21st league title. That's, of course, in the men's competition. Bafétimbi Gormis recording the highest amount of goals for a foreign player in a Turkish league season, 29 goals. They just needed to avoid defeat. They got the win. They win the championship. If you haven't seen images from the championship, check out my Twitter, at Adrian Del Monte. Unbelievable scenes as Galatasaray secure a return to the Champions League and a record 21st title. Unbelievable scenes. They certainly know how to celebrate in Galatasaray.
They absolutely do. And how tight was second to fourth? 1 point between all three teams.
Great season.
Between Fenerbahce, Basiksehir and Besiktas. Very, very tight.
Great campaign. Besiktas, of course, making a number of big-name signings. Basiksehir as well. Great season. Looking forward to the 2018-19 campaign. Red Star Belgrade in Serbia, they are the champions once again. The reason I'd like to quickly touch on them, there was a change of plans in their celebrations as their open bus top went on fire. Unbelievable. There was just flares and things going on everywhere, and the bus actually was lit on fire, quite unfortunately, and they had to evacuate immediately for safety precautions. So congratulations to them, but not the way they would have liked to have end the campaign. And just some transfer news to wrap up the program. We mentioned earlier, Spanish reports suggest that Antoine Griezmann has been offered a 5-year deal at Barcelona. €15 million per season, the reported salary. Very hard to see him not leaving Atleti this season. And Barca, with Messi apparently getting in his ear, that looks to be a very, very likely outcome. Fekir to Liverpool looks almost certain, won't be announced until after the Champions League final, as will be the case for Emre Can to Juventus. I'm so sick of that rumour, but that is going to happen at some point. And a very interesting one to end the programme on today, too, concerning Atletico Madrid. Not ruling out a move for Jamie Vardy. So potentially to replace Antoine Griezmann. I do not see that taking place, but there are reports in Spain suggesting that. And on that as well, on Atleti, Newcastle manager Rafa Benitez won't rule out a move for Fernando Torres. Of course, they have some history, those two. So Torres maybe to Newcastle, according to those reports. Vardy, I think if he's ever going to leave less, it has to be now, on the back of hopefully what will be a good World Cup for him, may move, maybe Atleti to show some interest.
He might cash in, but the thing is, he didn't want to cash in 3 seasons ago when Leicester won their Premier League title. He didn't want to move to Man City and Arsenal and United and all the teams that were linked at the time. Why would he move now?
Well, perhaps the last opportunity really to move. That's the only logic I can see behind that. But Atleti for Vardy doesn't seem like a good fit for me, just given what Simeone has gone
with. Too big of a jump.
I don't think the timing's right, but we'll see. There will be move and there'll be money to spend for Atleti if they do sell Antoine Griezmann. That is for sure. Well, that's where we'll leave things for today. Rick and I are back tomorrow at the same time with the Road to Russia show as the World Cup countdown continues. All European action and a look ahead to the UEFA Champions League final to come Wednesday and Thursday, local time. Check your guides. For now, from me, Adriano Del Monte, this has been the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football throughout Australia. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio.